Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network,
home of comedy,
culture,
adventures,
and ghosts.
Just a quick disclaimer, we are not medical doctors, therapists, or dietitians, so please check with an allied health professional before making any changes.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Super Gym Friends. I'm Adam.
I'm Zach.
And I'm Trent.
And today's topic is...
sleep. It's not... yeah, we're not yelling after this one because, you know, we gotta get everybody nice and relaxed.
Hey, Zach, what is sleep?
Webster's Dictionary describes sleep as... the time when you are not awake, baby. They say that as well. Baby.
Well, actually, I wanted to start off with a little bit of a less restful topic. So this will have come and gone a little bit by the time all the listeners, by the time this episode comes out. However, this weekend, or the weekend that we're just past, by the time we're recording, was Olympia weekend. So... I'm sure neither of you guys know what that is.
I actually do know what that is, actually, yeah.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. Is it like the Mr. Olympia event, or is it that?
Yeah.
I get you, yeah. They're jacked as hell. Yeah, I've seen it.
Oh, yeah. It's essentially like the pinnacle bodybuilding competition happening in Las Vegas this year, and right, just wanted to throw some attention over that way and say Big Rami came out looking absolutely ridiculous. If you guys want to look him up, I want to see your reactions. Look up Big Rami Olympia 2021.
Actually saw it on Facebook. It's actually pretty crazy, yeah.
He's always been huge, hence the name, but this year he really managed to pull in some conditioning, and like same thing with last year, but like waistline for a lot of the opens guys, so like there's different categories and opens is like the biggest of any, they've always had trouble with waist and bubble gut, but he just managed to pull his waist in to a ridiculous degree, which is nuts, and his back just had way better separation.
It's partly genetics, yeah, like he's got some blessed genetics, right?
You kind of look at the factors that pretty much anybody who hits that, like the world level or like top of the world in any sort of sport, but especially in bodybuilding where it's such like a visual thing, it's everybody's doing PEDs, so everybody's doing steroids, and everybody's training their ass off and eating with exceptional diet.
Must be nice.
The real big difference is peak. So like in the weeks beforehand, how people, like the last few weeks, how they peak properly. And then and as well as genetics. So it's like, it's one of those arguments when people are like, oh, steroids is cheating. And if you're doing it in a competition where not everybody is, 100%, that's cheating.
Back on steroids conversation again. We always circle back around to steroids.
It permeates bodybuilding in the fitness industry. Yeah. You can't talk fitness without having it rear its ugly head.
So is steroids something that people often... Is that like something that everyone here in this competition is using?
Every single
publicly?
IFBB
is
competitor.
That, or is it illegal?
Like... It's illegal to own, but like technically not illegal to use. But it's the genetics and the hard work which really shine through. But so for everybody who like says there is a tendency to kind of label people on steroids as like, oh, you're cheating to get ahead. But it's in some cases, maybe I'd agree where people just aren't putting in the work. But for the guys to get to that level, it's not cheating. Everybody's doing it. But the people who stand out are the ones who put in the work as well as use PEDs.
Hmm.
And on top of that, also Chris Bumstead, absolutely thrashing the classic physique category. He just looked fucking insane.
Classic physique.
So it's a category. So it's like the essentially like the size down from opens. It's what like Arnie's era bodybuilding. That's the sort of look that they try and create. And he just looks insane. And he also decided this year. So last year he had his prep mustache, which is, he has one of the best mustaches in all of social media that I've seen. And this year he decided to top the mustache by both having it and also having a close cropped mullet as well. So it was just all around
mullet.
Mwah, right. Incredible look. Just, oh, hell yeah. So he's going to be the one to beat for quite some time. Cause yeah, he doesn't seem to be, slowing down. He only seems to be getting better and better, which is incredible. Okay. Had to get that out. Had to talk about that. So now into sleep. So when it actually, I'll throw it to you guys. What is your relationship to sleep like? What do you, if you had to like talk about it a little bit? Yeah. What's your,
I consider it an sleep? Abusive relationship. I don't sleep very well.
Yeah. I think we touched on this with like our caffeine episode. What sort of like, how much sleep do you get on like an average basis?
I reckon 4 to 6 hours a night, probably about 5 days a week. And then I might get my 8 hours at, on my days off. But other than that, yeah, pretty much, 4 to 6 hours is probably a safe bet.
Sounds like great. Usually,
yeah, I mean, I'm always tired and I'm jacked up on caffeine, so I function okay, I think.
Just do you, like, four to five or 4 to 6 hours is not, like, that's not a lot. What do you find is the biggest difficulty with getting something more like 8 or 10 hours sleep?
I've got so much to do in my day. And it's like, I've tried to cut, I guess I sacrifice sleep to be able to enjoy my day. So I get my work done, to get my me time, to get my workout time and all that sort of stuff, you know, just like I choose to cut it from there. And I guess my mind says I won't do it forever. And I'm not saying I'm going to catch up, but I'm just saying is that do it while I'm young. And then kind of switch to a more healthier regime when I'm maybe in my 30s.
Okay, well, maybe
that sounds
maybe
like
going
a brilliant
through
plan.
It's working so far.
Yeah, it's working so far when you're fucking yourself in, when you haven't had to cash the check. Yes, the meal is free until you need to pay the check, Trent.
That is a great I love that metaphor. That's so good. Well, maybe after today's episode, we'll convince you to start getting more sleep, because it's not just like, I do hear that sort of sentiment from a lot of people where it's like, oh no, sleep is just like a waste of time. But what you find very quickly after getting continuous quality sleep is just how much it improves life. Like just things, colors seem brighter, music sounds better, food tastes more flavorsome.
Trent, unsure whether or not this could possibly be true. Life better than this?
I'm not joking. It genuinely is. Like, things just seem better when you have a good, like, high-quality sleep. I don't know about you, Adam. Like, what's your relationship with sleep like?
It's been like on again, off again, I suppose. I went through a long period in high school where I had like a phenomenal sleep schedule, to the point where my body kind of naturally fell asleep and woke up without me having to do anything. I went through a period where I began, I went a week at school before I realized that my alarm had died. The batteries in it had died and I had not noticed because I was routinely getting up at the same time anyway.
That is the best shit ever. Like, I don't know if you, do you still, well, tell us a bit more, like finish off your, what about now?
When I hit uni, it got, to say a word, chaotic. And it had been chaotic for some time since. Like, I would wildly different sleep, going to bed and waking up times. And that has persisted for some time. Every now and then I have like a run where I'm like, no, I'll try now. And I do try, but then something, like I typically will get like, I don't know, just like way too involved in something like typically a video game, but also something like just browsing on YouTube or fucking whatnot or using the internet until the wee hours of the morning. But for the last, I want to say 6-8 months, maybe, I've been on a pretty good streak. It wobbles every now and then. Like, I'll have a night where I'm like, oh shit, it's 1 a.m. or something like that. But
I kind of dream of that. I kind of dream of that.
Trent, you can do it. Like, it is possible.
I just work early mornings and I want to stay up late.
Fair.
Okay, well, it seems like I'll be having an uphill battle trying to convince both of you. Adam, I think you'll be an easier sell. Trent, you're going to be a tough
sell.
Dude, sell,
I'm in it now. I've got like decent times now. I think the worst thing for me now is having trouble. Once I'm up in a morning, I waste basically an hour of every morning just in bed before I actually force myself to get up and do anything.
That is the best. I love it when I do night shift at one of my jobs. I wake up like maybe an hour before. Well, it's too. Yeah, I have a weird sleep schedule. I wake up like an hour before and just lay in bed, and it's like it's fantastic. But like, yeah,
so I love like enjoying that time though. I know I would be having more fun out of bed, or at least I would be more. I would be better out of bed.
I can't. I'm the exact opposite. I get so antsy when I'm in bed, like after I wake up. I just get like really fidgety and restless. Like sometimes if I'll have like my partner over and like they'll want to just like stay asleep. They'll do the same. They'll want to stay in bed for a bit longer. And I'll like, they'll be like, oh, like come cuddle. And we'll do it maybe for like a little bit of time. And then I'm like, nah, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. I need to move. Like, I'll fucking start.
I'm kind of the same. My partner,
spinning.
When they're like low energy physically or emotionally or whatever, they're like, I just want to lie in bed all day. And I can't do that. I haven't got time for that.
Yeah. But I have time if I have, if I'm doing afternoon shift, I have time for it. If I'm doing, I don't have time otherwise in my schedule.
I think, also what you were saying, Adam, having a regular, one of the greatest benefits of having a regular sleep schedule and not being continuously sleep deprived is being able to wake up before your alarm is so nice. It is an absolute luxury because essentially it's like,
I've got something to drop on you after this alarm clock situation.
Okay, but I feel like I'll wake up before my alarm hits, and on those days it feels like when you wake up you're like waking up from like a bed of daisies. It's like a nice summer feel, like all this grass is around.
5 minutes before
lovely.
Your alarm. 5 minutes before your alarm is like perfect. 100%. I get that occasionally, but otherwise it usually. I don't know if you can see my phone properly here, but. I have
my friend.
I set about 20 alarms probably to wake up in the morning to drag myself out of bed.
Have you considered? Yeah. Can I hit you? Because you've got alarms. Can you go to the first alarm? Sorry. So you've got an alarm every minute. Is that correct?
Pretty much. Yeah.
So it's every minute, starting at. My god! Starting at what is it?
3 a.m.
3 a.m.
Yeah.
Oh, is that just because this time? Well, it goes to 6.
What?
It goes from 3 a.m. to 6 or you're, something.
Sometimes I start at 5 a.m. Sometimes I start at like 4:30 a.m.
So you just turn on the minute, every minute a lot. That's insane. That's so much effort to wake up.
Oh, yeah, have you considered? Yeah, what?
Have you considered putting your phone on the other side of the room at night so that because, when the alarm goes off, you have to get up to turn it off?
Look, we already feel bad for my fiance who has to probably listen to those alarms.
I feel terrible for
that. But I had that the other day when I had my phone on the other side of the room. I let my alarm go for about 20 minutes.
Dude, come on, it was my day off. That can't be good.
It was a day off and I let my alarm
go. Why did you set your alarm on your day off?
Oh, it was just like, I think, Zach, were you looking at an emergency alarm?
It takes 5 minutes to turn his alarm off. I get it. He's got other things to do.
That sounds awful.
Yeah, not good.
That is...
Yeah, like, normally do that.
Going back to what I was saying, like, the waking up without an alarm, lovely. Waking up with an alarm feels like somebody's just... They're just, like, ripping your soul to wake you up. Like, they just dig deep and, like, are pulling your consciousness out of wherever it is. And that is not fun. Like, there's kind of going... into like a little bit of the look, taking a deeper look, when we do get woken up by alarm, it's an extremely stressful thing for our body to have happen.
Extremely stressful for me.
Yeah, right. Body. Adam, I don't know if you knew this, but you are actually connected to your body.
Oh, loosely.
Loosely.
Who'd have known?
Science is out on that one.
It like increases our heart rate and blood pressure quite significantly, and it's an amount of stress which is palatable if done once. However, for people who use the snooze or who, like yourself, continuously set a bunch of alarms, what you're doing is you're putting your body through constant, regular periods of stress. Mm-hmm. It's just like, you imagine starting your morning with just somebody screaming at your face, then they disappear, and then they scream at your face again, and then they disappear, and you just have that. Like, that's not a... It's really bad. It's not a good way to start. And you're also limiting the amount of time that you could be asleep. Like, if you genuinely need to wake up at 6:30, and you set your first alarm at 5... That's half an hour of extra sleep you could be getting. And for somebody like yourself, it's not going to hurt to try and get every scrap of sleep that you can. So I would highly caution you for continuing that sort of like alarm use. And instead, I would recommend quite highly just biting the bullet, having one, and just getting up.
Issue with that is that sometimes I'm half asleep and I turn my alarm off and go back to sleep.
Like Adam said, put it on the ground. Put it far enough. You don't have to put it all the way on the other side of the room, but like put it far enough away that you can't just.
The issue with that is that if I somehow fall back asleep, I'm then late for work.
Well, then maybe this is a controversial thought. Maybe we try and get enough sleep that you don't need to fall back asleep.
Yeah, no, yeah. Maybe start at the back end. Look, I don't know.
I don't know if that necessarily works. I don't think I've ever woken up and been like, I'm done.
Wait, seriously?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever woken up and been like, I don't think I could have any more sleep.
I get that almost every day. Well, sometimes I'll wake up and sometimes it's just like, I'm done, not because I couldn't get any more sleep, but just because I'm too restless right now to fall back asleep. But
yeah, I don't necessarily think that getting enough sleep is going to be the thing that solves this.
I do, because I personally can say I do get enough sleep most of the time, and you don't feel like going back to sleep. You feel like fucking... literally like you're swinging yourself out of bed and listening to some good music while you start the day.
Surprise! I suffered chronic fatigue throughout my teens when I was like 16, 17. Like,
from sleep related, like fibromyalgia, sleep related.
Yeah, so I went from glandular fever and developed into chronic fatigue.
Fibromyalgia specifically.
That word was thrown around, but it was definitely chronic fatigue.
That same thing.
Yeah. It was definitely that, and all I can say is that when the days I used to get like 10 hours sleep a day, I would wake up and I'm still like, I can go back to sleep again. You know, oversleeping, I know, can also make you feel more tired. But during that period, I don't think it's quite as like, do you get your perfect 8 hours or?
I fluctuate a bit. So I like sleep is an extreme pet interest of mine. I currently wear like one of my rings is a sleep tracker. So it's like I've had multiple different sleep trackers. I've gone through about 6 or 7 different sleep supplements to find the ones that work best, because I'm constantly chasing the high of a really quality sleep. Mm-hmm. But for me, my average sleep, I will be in bed for around 9 to 10 hours, and I'll get around 7 to 8 hours of like actual sleep. So I do pretty regularly get not perfect, but like what I would consider like above average to like great sleep.
Hmm. Not fair enough. Huh.
But when it comes to sleep, I think what I want to, a good way to kind of start or continue this conversation, I think, I don't know about you guys, but if you've spent enough time in the fitness industry, and it's honestly not, you don't need to spend that long to hear this, but one common thing that's thrown around is that any sort of like progress in the gym or with any sort of goal is 70% diet, 30% training, or 80% diet, 20% training. Is that something that you guys have heard before?
I've heard like, majority it's just your diet, and then a little bit.
I've certainly heard like 90% diet, 10% anything else. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a very classic one that gets thrown around, but I think it misses, well, I know for a fact it misses an absolute key point. And if, although I think it's like very derivative and it isn't actually a very good metric to think about, and it doesn't have a huge amount of purpose, the way that I would rephrase it is it's 33% diet, 33% training, and 33% sleep, because sleep is just
with that
such
final
a
1%
huge...
being the mystery factor.
Yeah, the that X little razzle dazzle.
Yeah,
it's knowing about log cabins, that extra 1%.
Absolutely,
makes sense.
And the reason for that is because all of the progress, speaking like specifically around strength and muscle building, but also you can kind of transfer this over to any other goals that you have, but all progress that we get actually occurs during our rest period. So that's when we recover. Obviously, when we're in the training period, we're not actually making any changes, or we're not improving, I should say. What we are doing is damaging our muscles, causing fatigue, causing stress, which then through the process of recovery, we get something that's called supercompensation. So we start, so if you imagine that we have a graph, when you go for your start point, you go for a training session, that graph dips down low. And then in the process of recovery, you actually have supercompensation. So when you recover and come back, you don't come back to your starting point, you end a little bit higher up. And so sleep being the main period of time in which we are recovering, if we limit the amount of sleep that we're getting, we are severely handicapping our ability to make any sort of progress in the gym. All in regards to weight loss or things like that, because sleep is just, it's important for every facet of our life. On top of that, it's also going to dramatically affect our performance. When sleep deprived, we will not be able to hit the same weights that we were when we, although we could if we were well rested, we will not be able to hit the same volumes. We will be far more prone to fatigue, and our recovery after a session, obviously, is going to be far lower. And one thing I think is a little bit more abstract, but especially REM sleep, so rapid eye movement, it's an aspect of sleep which gets, gets thrown around a lot, and we'll talk about it a little bit more later on as well. But REM sleep is the period of time during our sleep in which we have memory consolidation. So what that means is that all the information that our brain takes in, because it's constantly getting fed lots and lots of different pieces of information, all of that is consolidated and essentially like categorized within our minds during that period of REM sleep. And say we are a beginner going to the gym and we have just been told, oh, we've just got a new programming, or we're with a new personal trainer and they're trying to teach us a ton of different movements, as they should and as is important to do when we first begin. If we are not recovering properly, there we are extremely limiting our ability to improve in our movements if we don't allow for this period of memory consolidation, because it's not just enough to learn it in the moment. We also need that time of processing in our subconscious when we are asleep. So it's also really key for our like actual execution of exercise as well, which I think is something that's not really talked about, but is still definitely a key factor. So what I think is good to go through next is kind of the different stages of sleep, because there's a ton of different stages, as I'm sure you're all aware. And depending on the stage, it has different effects and different utility to the body. So in our four stages of sleep, we have non-REM sleep in our stage one version. So that's kind of like just the very beginning period of sleep. It's when we kind of are not necessarily when we just go to bed, but when we really start to try and wind, like after our wind down period, when we close our eyes and we're like, this is the time when I'm actually going to go to sleep. It shouldn't be ultra quick. Any times, it's normally around 8 to 15 minutes is the optimal range for falling asleep. If we are falling asleep really dramatically, like if we go hit the hay and we just fall straight to sleep, it's a key sign of excess like stress on the body or sleep deprivation. So anywhere between like that 5 to 15 minutes is when we should be trying to get to sleep, that sort of period of time.
And obviously the caffeine can affect that.
Oh, caffeine's going to affect it in the opposite direction as well, where it's going to take way longer
that
to get 45 to sleep.
Minutes sometimes, it can be a wind down. That I feel like you kind of sit there and watch
the clock. About to say, that felt a little bit too like you just had that number off the top of your head.
Last night, I kind of suffered with that. I kind of was just watching the clock and trying to wind down. 45 minutes,
yeah,
even
that's,
then.
That's brutal.
And even then, I kept on like falling asleep, waking up, and then going through the same process again. It happened to me twice, but yeah. I don't know. Oddly, something I was watching last night. Maybe in preparation for this.
What were you watching last night?
Oh, just watching the clock.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, interestingly, like, different things that we watch as well before, like, the sort of media of any sort that we're consuming before bed will also have an effect on how easily we can get to sleep.
Blue light
also,
as well.
Also, like, that we'll talk about a little bit later, but I mean more, like, the content of what we watch. Okay. Like, having or watching really stressful media before we do go to bed is going to lead to more stressful dreams. So for people who are far more conscious of what they're dreaming about, and if you aren't, actually a really easy way to start remembering your dreams is as soon as you wake up in the morning, grab out your phone or if you have a notebook beside you and just write down anything that you remember. If you don't remember anything, write no memory of dreams, and just the act of consciously trying to remember what you just dreamt of will, over like a very short period of time.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Time, it's normally like 5 to 7 days, will start to adjust your memory of your dreams, and then you'll start to be able to remember them. But I know for myself and for a few other people that I've talked to about this, the more if they're consuming really stressful, dramatic, dark, grim content before they go to sleep, they have a lot more stressful, not necessarily nightmares, but just stressful dreams where like weird things start to happen in ways that are not fun, versus they'll watch like a cartoon or something, or they'll read like a more enjoyable, fun, lighthearted book before they go to bed, and they find that their dreams afterwards are much better. But also just having thoughts racing about something that's a lot more grim will also affect our ability to get to sleep, which is never good either. What sort of shows do you guys watch normally? It's very common for people to like watch a TV show or read a book. Do you guys have, what have you been currently
I don't tend to watch a lot of just like TV shows. I tend to just, there's this video I like on YouTube where it's just slowly, they like rise tension and then you get hit with a jump scare and it's like that for 6 hours straight.
Mm.
And I make sure to watch it at least twice before I go to bed.
Yeah, yeah. For 12 hours of the day.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. I would say I feel like recently, or ever since I started that, I feel like my heart rate has never been higher constantly. I've never been more on edge. I've never gotten any less done in the day. And I feel like it has definitely expanded my ability to cry. I just weep uncontrollably and randomly now sometimes. Yeah.
And so for those who are unaware, what Adam is trying to do is he's trying to improve the ability of his heart to pump blood around his body. So by increasing the stress levels. No?
No, I'm just trying to ruin it.
Okay. I was being sarcastic. It's not actually what he's doing.
There's a few things that I might be watching before I go to bed. Sometimes, obviously, I guess a video game. Sometimes,
hell yeah.
I might be watching a. I've just nearly finished a series called Burn Notice.
Oh, good series.
I'm watching front to back for the first time ever. I have never really consumed it all at once. So like a TV show, and then sometimes just YouTube videos.
Yeah, I keep to more lighthearted comedy towards going to bed. Yeah, like I like a good horror film, don't get me wrong, but no, not before bed.
Not all the time.
I know how that works. I kind of get a grasp of that works.
Have you guys, like, what has been the scariest horror movie that you've seen, and how has it affected, like, do you remember how it affected your sleep?
The scariest horror movie? I don't know.
Or, like, the one that's affected your sleep the worst? Because I find that it's not always the scariest movie, but, like, some just have some concept in it that just keeps you awake, even if the movie itself wasn't terribly scary.
I think I just kind of have, like, I have this memory of a dream when I was, like, 4 years old, and I think for some reason I'd seen like the image of from the ring, like the witch or whatever that creature is. Is it the ring, like the one that comes through the TV? That one, yeah.
Yeah, that's the ring.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. The ring, or rings, I believe, was one of the more recent ones. I don't actually know.
I guess I remember seeing an image of that when I was very young, or seeing a part of the movie, or I don't know what I was doing, but I have this vivid memory of this nightmare I had where a computer in the family computer would glow green, and I just remember that creature being there. And
you don't want that.
Yeah, so like obviously I understand that horror does affect you. I think it's everyone's kind of go to. Like I know my partner, like we will watch a horror and we have to put on Pixar straight afterwards.
Yeah. Oh, like some eye bleach.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember this was I think last year maybe. I watched The Invisible Man, the new one, which is not the scariest movie I've seen. It's definitely not, but...
The new one with, is it Elizabeth Banks? I forget her name.
I don't think it's Elizabeth Banks. Somebody else can
look it up. Oh, yeah, what the fuck?
Elizabeth. Yeah, it's definitely not Elizabeth
Banks. I don't know who the fuck people are, I suppose.
Yeah.
Not Elizabeth Banks. Wow, I fucked that name up heavy in my mind.
That one's kind of like where, like, essentially Invisible Man, right? Like Hollow Man?
Yeah, Hollow Man, I guess, is a similar vein
concept,
of
right?
Movie.
Yeah, it's
concept.
A little bit... Well, I don't know what Hollow Man
Elizabeth
is, but it's
Moss.
Yeah, that's the one.
Elizabeth Moss.
It's about, like, a... Well, the concept of the movie is basically, what if your gaslighting partner had the ability to go invisible? And so it's an incredible movie. It's really good. And I think the story behind it is just phenomenal because it is just such like a great sort of example of the havoc that an abusive relationship can cause. But the way that it's filmed is so specifically evil. And I just, oh, it's awful. So what they'll do is they will have most of the shots just completely off-center where all of the sort of content of the shot is happening like in the one half of the frame. And then the other half just lingers on an empty part of the room. And it's nothing might happen. Like in most of the time, nothing happens in that corner. But it's just this idea that there could be something in the corner always. And you would never know. And... For some reason, that
kinda like
just
they're
got...
including a person who might not be, may or may not be there, or who
exactly.
may be an invisible man.
No, I don't think it would be an invisible man. Like you'd think that they put that in the title if that was what was going to happen.
Zach, do I have news for you?
Tell me that news, Adam. I want to hear it. Wow, you really fumbled that one.
I was like trying to think of news, and then I was like, what if I just Googled some news? And then a little man, so there's this little guy in my brain.
Oh my God.
There's this little man in my brain.
Here we go.
He sits at a desk, and he sits right before words come out of my mouth. He's got his feet up on the desk. He's reading a broadsheet. He's got it out in front of him. And every now and then, as a thought, as something's about to come out of my mouth, he'll lower the newspaper, and he'll be like, don't worry about it. And the thought will be like, I guess not. And it won't come out my mouth. And it'll be like, my job here is done.
A broadsheet's a newspaper, right?
Yeah, a broadsheet is a newspaper.
Who calls it a broadsheet? Are you in the 1920s? Like, what the hell's going on there, Adam?
I don't think I need to be in the 1920s to call it a broadsheet.
It's a newspaper.
My young friend.
You were the first person to reference it as a broadsheet. Like, in a conversation with myself, like...
Right?
Never heard that. My dad has read the newspaper every day of his life. It's always been newspaper. I've never heard him say broadsheet, and he's from that era. He's old.
I think broadsheet came in after night. Anyway, the hide nor hair to do with sleep. You were talking about sleep, my friend Zach.
Yeah. So I remember like after watching that movie for the next 3 or 4 days, just like lying in bed. Not being able to go to sleep because I would just stare at the corner of my room. And it's like, I know nothing's there. And I know it's just empty space, but something about it just like, burrowed into my mind and was just, wreaking havoc. But so stage 2 of our sleep is non-REM sleep stage 2. That's what it's considered. It's where we start to have slight decreases in body temperature as well as heart rate begins to slow, which tend to be, because a lot of the time, blood is responsible for our thermal regulation, that's part of the reason that our body temperature drops. And this is when the brain starts to relax as well. And stage two is, it normally lasts for around 20 minutes. After that, we get non-REM sleep stage three. And this is where our muscles start to relax. This is also the deepest part of our sleep. And it's where our blood pressure and breathing rate drops to the lowest point. So ironically, it's REM sleep is typically considered to be like the deepest part of our sleep, or I've heard that sentiment a bit. So it's not actually REM sleep, because our mind tends to wakes up a little bit so that it can do all of the memory consolidation and all of the weird and wackiness of our dreams itself. So that is the fourth stage of our sleep, which is REM, rapid eye movement, where the brain wakes itself up. Our body essentially becomes immobilized, so there's a certain signal which cuts off our neurological function. So our brain can have a concept of itself that is doing things within the dream, but it stops our body from, like, walking around and doing things. Obviously, there are circumstances where that's untrue. So
have we had a conversation about how I recently encountered that for the first time ever? Sleep paralysis?
We'll get to that as well. I'll throw it back to you in a sec. Because, sleep paralysis is one of them. Sleepwalking is where that just doesn't occur. So it's actually the opposite of sleep paralysis. Yep. Another one is, to a lesser extent, is sleep talking. That's one I'm extremely guilty of. I will have many conversations with people in my sleep. But sleep paralysis is definitely what sounds like, to me, the worst one. So
I Adam, cop, what's been... I cop that every few months as well. Oof. And I also have the sleepwalking too. I've done that. And I have a story about that one too. Sweet.
What's your experience with sleep paralysis, Adam?
So it wasn't even, like, typically a sleep paralysis story has this awful...
Like, so, demon?
Yeah, there'll be, like, people will often reference, like, something sitting on their chest or someone standing at the end of their bed, and it's typically a really horrific experience. But for me, it was kind of more of a, like, a... I hesitate almost to call it even stressful, but what happened was I was dreaming. I realized I was dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
And... it wasn't like, it was a bad dream. Like, I was having a nightmare, but it was a regular nightmare. But in the regular nightmare, I realized what was happening, and I realized I wanted to wake up, and I couldn't move much of my body. So I could still move just my hand, and I was sleeping next to my partner. So I just started jabbing them with my finger in an effort to wake them up so that they would wake me up. And they, sure enough, rolled over and were like, "Adam, what are you doing? Stop."
I don't think that's sleep paralysis.
I feel something similar. I feel something similar is that I'm trying to fight the sleep paralysis, and I'm trying with all my might to, like, move my body. And I might be able to adjust slightly, but, like, I feel like I shake and then I eventually just pass out from, like, I can't breathe. That's like,
Jesus.
See, that sounds horrific.
Yeah.
I might be wrong here, but what Adam, I'm not sure about you, Trent, but what Adam, you were talking about doesn't sound exactly like sleep paralysis, where sleep paralysis, it sounds more like a weird lucid dream. So lucid dreaming being where we are conscious of the fact that we are dreaming whilst in the dream itself. Mm-hmm. What sleep paralysis is when we are awake. So we actually wake up, however, our brain hasn't reconnected to our body. So we are conscious, fully conscious in the real world, but we haven't been given back the ability to move yet.
Feels like in a car, like, you've got the accessories on, but the engine's not running. That makes sense?
Yeah. Hmm. And it's very typical, for a little bit of the dream world to almost leak into that reality where it is conscious, but it's not entirely conscious. Where, people do... I remember I was talking to a friend about this, and they quite often have sleep paralysis. And
I just quickly Googled it. It is possible to have isolated sleep paralysis, or... Like, it is possible to be able to move parts of your body still.
Yeah.
That's but how I feel.
You were saying that you were in your, you were still in your dream. Were you?
I thought I was, but look, I don't know exactly what happened to me necessarily. But yeah, it could have been lucid dream. But I, it wasn't. It couldn't have been lucid dreaming because I moved my body.
Lucid dreaming, you feel like you almost have a bit more control of your dream. But like, in this situation, I feel like I can usually move partly, like not even partly. I might be wriggling like a worm. Almost, but I'm trying to, and I just feel like if I'm, I guess when you're pushed down in your chest, but like I feel like I'm pushing as much weight as I can, my body won't move.
Oof, yeah,
that sounds super stressful and awful.
Yeah, all the stories I hear about sleep paralysis are just terrible, terrible stories.
Sleepwalking once, I going on to the other side of that, sleepwalking, I would. My friend has a good story of how when we lived together, how I stood up while he was sitting on a recliner while I was sleeping on my bed. I started searching frantically underneath the bed, and he goes, "Trent, you're all right? You're good? Yeah, yeah." And I look back at him while like kind of like in that sleepwalking mode. I'm like, "Have you seen them?" And he goes, "What? The red, the blue, yellow." And in my mind, I was in the Sonic's world.
You'd been activated,
Sonic,
dude.
Sonic the Hedgehog's world. And I was looking for the emeralds. But
you're
to
the
him...
Manchurian Candidate. You got fucking Manchurian Candidate, my friend.
Oh my god.
And I recall it, but I recall it from a Sonic the Hedgehog dream. And he recalls it for me creepily jumping out of bed, looking under my bed, and then asking for where the crystals are.
Did you find the crystals?
In my dream, yes. Under the bed, no.
Congratulations on finding the crystals. That's very exciting.
Yeah. The emeralds. That's right. The emeralds. That's what they're
emeralds,
called.
Emeralds, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I've heard much worse stories. So, yeah, from a friend of mine who he's quite often gets sleep paralysis demons. He was saying that his worst one, so this was when he was living with his brother and his parents. He was lying in bed, woke up, body couldn't move, and one thing that like continuously, or his demon, which seems to continuously appear, is a very like ring-like, but like a lady in a white dress whose face is really obscured, and you know, typically a lady in a white dress, not super spooky, but in your room at night, where she shouldn't be, extremely spooky.
Mean about my phobia of weddings.
Spooky for a different reason then. But he was saying that on this one occasion, and it's happened before, but this was like the worst time, he was in bed and all he could do was like see and talk. So he literally just started screaming and crying, like not deliberately, but it just tears started coming out of his face, and his brother rushed in. And even at that point, like, when his brother was coming in, it was like, what's happened? What's happened? Like, are you okay? He was just... He couldn't point, couldn't do anything. He was just saying, she's there. Like, the white lady's there. And... Oh, it freaked his brother out as well.
The white lady's there.
Which is just not,
what's
not
scary
great
about
either.
That? You gotta always be on the lookout for white ladies.
So I think the last thing we'll end on for today is... One thing that I want you... I think everybody should be thinking about when it comes to sleep is... Sleep is an extremely expensive activity for the body to take. To go into this period of REM sleep when we dream, it takes up a lot of energy that is not just purely for recovery. We're spending time to reawaken the brain and to have it go through all of this processing. And so, as we've mentioned before, the body is an efficiency machine. It is hell-bent on doing things as effectively and efficiently as possible. So it wants to spend the least resources it needs to. So when we kind of look at the body in that mindset, then we need to, I guess a logical conclusion from that is that sleep has some purpose. So one of those purposes is obviously memory consolidation that is occurring during REM sleep, but another purpose is that our dreams, although very obscure and abstract when we think back on them, do have This is obviously a little bit more, it's not nothing confirmed, but it's just a bit more conceptual work, which I would love to hear your guys' thoughts on. But our dreams will have some problem solving capacity. It will be some function of the brain to run us through certain situations. Obviously the one, not exactly like the ones that we're going to go through, because dreams are quite typically very strange, but will run us through situations that we might be exposed to in the future, or ones that we're trying to get prepared for. So a very common dream, or one that gets talked about a lot, is like waking up at school, or being in school without any clothes on, or without your pants on. And what that is obviously not going to prepare you for being at school without any clothes on, because that would very likely never happen. However, it is preparing you to deal with the consequence of social embarrassment, to deal with like being in an awkward situation around peers or people that you need to have respect you, and like how to deal with that. And a little bit of that is about, here's like a little bit of problem solving, but it's also an element of, if we expose you to this now, if it does occur later on, the effects of it will be lessened as well. So that's a little bit of a hypothesis.
Get some life lessons in your dreams.
Oh, yeah. Dreams.
Yeah. However, can you please explain why every snake in my dream is technically venomous, in my opinion, but when I get bitten by it, I'm all good in the dream. I just take it off.
Because your brain's good at storytelling, and your brain's like, well, then the story would just end.
No, keeps going. It keeps going.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
He died.
It doesn't want to end.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Maybe you're immune. Maybe it's your brain trying to tell you that you're immune to snake venom.
Ah.
Only one way to find out.
Only one way to find out. Yeah.
Tell you what, you live in, one might say, the greatest country to find out, though another might say, the worst country to find out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is really funny that there's this stigma around Australia about it being, like, so dangerous. But it's just not. It's not that dangerous.
Like, Australia's not that dangerous, says man who lives in CBD.
Most people do. Most people live in the suburbs of the CBD. But I've literally heard people, like particularly Americans, who are like, no, I could never go to Australia. Like, I don't want to get injured, or I don't want to get hurt, or like bit by snakes. It's like, that just doesn't happen to 90-95% of the population.
I'm not too scared about a venomous or poisonous animal, but I am scared of a kangaroo.
Yes.
I am way more likely to be killed by a kangaroo than I am a spider or a snake. They're fucking vicious.
I don't know if that's true, actually.
No, kangaroos are vicious.
I know they're vicious, but like, what is, how do you even look this up? But like,
kangaroo
the Australian
statistics?
Mortality, yeah. The mortality rate from kangaroos versus spiders and snakes.
I reckon I could just Google
snakes or spiders and snakes.
Australian animal killed
deadly.
Most people. Most deadly is going to get people being like, well, this is the most venomous.
Yeah,
what I want is, what has killed the most people in Australia?
Yeah, look, not people regards, but like, I hear their tactics on like luring like animals trying to hunt them. Like, they'll go jump in a lake.
Yeah.
They'll sit on their tail.
What is this? Say that again.
So, Fred, you go on.
Yeah. So kangaroos, to lure, like, if they're getting attacked by an animal, they'll jump into a lake and they'll sit on their tail. And basically, if the animal comes into the water, they'll try and drown the animal by like setting its legs onto it. By sitting on its tail.
They will lure people into bodies of water and fucking drown them.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's people. I think that's more like
it's not people. Yeah. It's like essentially dog. Yeah, basically grab your dog if you ever see that happening. But people kind of know.
Jesus.
I just found a Wikipedia article that's like, here are animals in Australia that will attack you. But it doesn't have like a top 10 list.
Don't trust emus either. That's another one as well. Wouldn't go near an emu.
Oh my god, we've had a buffalo attack in Australia.
How?
2005. Well, there's like a wildlife reserve in South Australia where a lot of, because there's a lot of empty space. Australia is a lot of just empty, useless space. But not useless, I suppose, but a lot of empty space. And there's a lot of spaces in Australia that can very easily recreate other places in the world. And so there's a massive conservation reserve in South Australia where they're like, well, if an animal would live in similar conditions, we can... Because there's no one fucking out here. No one's going to come poach buffalo here in Australia. So we could fucking just rekindle the species here. Mm. So we've got... Okay. Like, we have buffalo in Australia.
I may have to pull back my statement because I did find a list of the top 30 most dangerous animals in Australia based on mortality.
Oh, so there you go.
The top one is horses and horses, ponies, and donkeys with 77 deaths between 2001 and 2007.
It's like you're so much more likely to be killed by someone you know than someone you don't know because you just have more contact with people that you know.
Yeah, exactly.
We have so much more contact with horses. That doesn't count. That's not fair.
Outside of those animals, which I think you would consider that. Kangaroos are the net, like, are the highest. Yes, yes. 18 deaths.
It's deceptive because kangaroos, you're like, oh, look at that cute animal. Mm-hmm. And then you don't realize it's fucking ripple. It's absolutely fucking jacked.
Yeah.
Jacked to shit and it's fucking mad.
Have a look at the photo that they show for kangaroo. Like, that is a huge kangaroo.
Yeah.
It's buff as
shit. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Kangaroos get big, dude. They can easily get to 2 meters or more.
Crikey.
Yeah, very funny. Mm-hmm. Anyway, today we learnt that Zach's guide to life is 33% diet, 33% exercise, 33% sleep.
And 1% log cabin analogies.
Yes, and 1% log cabin analogies. I don't save these at the end, but I will save this one. And then we learnt the stages of sleep.
Yep. Which we have stage one of... So non-REM sleep stage one, non-REM sleep stage two, non-REM sleep stage three being the deepest, and then REM sleep, rapid eye movement sleep in which we dream.
Mm-hmm. And that also encompassed... And that also encompassed... we had a short chat about what we do before bed, including the media we watch and how we watch it, being both important.
Yep, and just how, obviously, like, just general stuff about how sleep is important for recovery, growth. It's just, yeah, great for everything. And in our next episode, we'll go for one more episode on sleep, where we'll dive into a little bit more of the specifics of what makes a good night's rest, how we can really... cultivate good sleep hygiene, and also what makes a bad night's sleep. Some of the things that we should be trying to eliminate and how they affect our sleep for the worse.
Can't wait to tick each of those boxes. Like,
one where I think I'll be convincing both of you to prioritize sleep a bit more.
You've got me interested.
Well, that's good.
Hell yeah.
All right. And on that note... Oh, no, please.
Happy lifting.
Thanks for listening to Super Gym Friends. Once again, we are not medical doctors, physiotherapists, or dietitians. So please check with a healthcare professional before making any changes. If you want to get in touch, email us at supergymfriends@gmail.com. And to continue the conversation or to speak directly to resident bumpy man Zach himself about in-person or online training, links to our Discord and Zach can be found in the show notes.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.